You're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and on the World Wide Web at kpfk.org.
My town, lady bright, in the arms of night.
Today, The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett.
Everybody's talking about consciousness. Everybody wants that eternal kiss.
Everyone's saying there's more than this.
Everyone wants to follow their own bliss.
On the Expansion Zone, we examine life and our quest to understand who and what we are and of the vastness of human potentials. We explore the making of our world from quantum physics to parapsychology, health, sociology, and philosophy, along with practical living. You are reminded of the possibilities in creating personal change. So for an hour, will stimulate and expand the mind. Well, welcome once again to another edition of The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am, of course, your host, Sonia Barrett, and as always, happy Monday, and thank you, Donna DeLore, for Be the Change. Well, I hope you had a great weekend. I just returned from Seattle for a talk there and a workshop. But first, let me say that today's guests are, I have two guests today, Maureen Seberg and William Bushell, Dr. William Bushell. And the topic is going to be experiments suggest humans can directly observe the quantum. Now, all kinds of conversations, I'm sure, will arise out of that topic. Lots of great stuff. And, you know, in light of my workshop and my talk over the last couple of days, this conversation today really supports that, because my subject matter was really talking about living beyond a default life or default existence and really shifting into our super self, which what I mean by that is really shifting into greater possibilities of who we are as human beings and beyond our concept of what it means to be human as well. And so today, again, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And what I'd like to also say is what I find interesting is, one, we are noticing the progression that is unfolding as far as human beings and as far as just all the discoveries that are coming up by science. And so it's becoming evident that science is discovering what the unlimited layers and levels by which reality is operating. And of course, the ancients knew the sages, the indigenous people. It's not new, but what we are looking at is, I guess, some of the specifics then that science is pinning down. That also reminds us of the necessity for all of us to become as unlimited as possible, really, in expanding our perception of all that is possible. Just how small have you made your world? You know, how small is your belief system? and this is your belief system. And I say your world, I'm talking about your personal world as well as your perception of the collective or the collective human experience. So, of course, you know, the show is called The Expansion Zone. So I'm not letting you off the hook with the small perception. I'm all about pushing the limits, going deeper. Of course, there really are no limits, but in our minds, we conjure up these limitations, these safe spaces that we kind of like to go to, these comfortable beliefs that sometimes we like to hang out in, because the unknown can be so scary, the unknown, unpredictable. So anyway, so let's kind of take a look now at who our guests are. Who are these folks? Well, as I said, Maureen Seberg and Dr. William Bushell. And let's talk about Maureen a bit. Let's get some insight on her background. And I've always loved her work. And I interviewed her, I think, for the first time. It's got to be a while, maybe 8 years ago. It's been a while. It's amazing how the time just goes by. But anyway, Maureen Seberg is the co-author of Struck by Genius, How a Brain Injury Made Me a Mathematical Marvel, the story of Jason Pachet, who acquired synesthesia and savant syndrome from a brain injury sustained in a brutal mugging 15 years ago in Tacoma, Washington. Maureen is also the author of Tasting the Universe, People Who See Colors in Words and Rainbows in Symphonies. A polysynesthete, she has higher and lower synesthesis. Her sensory experience of the letter K is teal. The number 8 is aubergine. And she would have to become a glass artesian to describe what she sees when listening to Yo-Yo Ma. She's an expert blogger for Psychology Today and has been published in the New York Times, National Geographic, Vogue, and beyond. All right, so let's talk about William a bit. Dr. William Bushell is a biophysical anthropologist who has been studying advanced yogic meditational and related practices, example shamanic, for decades now around the world as a Fulbright scholar and affiliated with Columbia, Harvard, and for the past 25 years, MIT. He has developed scientific models demonstrating the potential of these practices for the radical enhancement of health and functioning. And most recently, his work has been demonstrating the human potential for direct perception of quantum physical phenomenon in a rigorously scientific model. Dr. Bushell is the director of research and what is the rest of it? I think I missed that. But anyway, he is phenomenal, and I am looking here because I really wanted to tell you what the rest of this is, because he's so amazing. Aishar, I think is how it's pronounced, which is Integrated Studies, Health, Archive, and Research, an initiation of the Chopra Foundation, the world's largest open access resource for scientific and scholarly sources in the fields of integrative health, healing, consciousness studies, and related subjects. Okay, so we're definitely in for a treat today, because I tell you, I think the first time I really knew anything about synesthesia is meeting Maureen, reading her book. And I was so fascinated with this, even though we'd heard of, you know, different situations like that where people are seeing letters in certain colors and even just looking out at everything around, seeing it in mathematical patterns and all of that. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Maureen Seberg and William Bushell, Dr. William Bushell, to the Expansion Zone.
Hi, Sonia. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yes. Oh, somebody's got a siren going on back there.
Sirens in the background here.
Yes, hopefully that ends. But life in the game, life in the matrix. Always something fascinating.
I, And I would like to point out that it's Dr. Bushell.
Bushell, okay.
Two L's, yes.
Okay, Bushell. Okay, Dr. Bushell. All right, we've got that corrected. Well, I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Dr. Bushell?
No, I just said hello.
Oh, hello there. Good to have you here. Really, really delighted.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So much to chat about, but I guess maybe we can start out by probably giving the audience some idea before we dig into the various aspects of this, but some idea as to what we mean when we talk about this experiment or this possibility of seeing more directly the quantum. So I don't know, Maureen, if you feel maybe you want to just start with that. We're just a summary before we go in deeper. Either one of you.
Well, I actually would love Dr. Bushell to start because he is the first researcher to have noticed the tremendous uptick in sensory research in the literature.
By all means.
Sure. So I've been studying advanced yoga practitioners around the world, as you mentioned, particularly Tibetan practitioners, and they have a tradition, a belief, a cultural system in which they're convinced that they are capable of directly perceiving the fabric of the universe, to use a shorthand term. And this is what's driven their culture. It's completely different from what's in the West, where there was never an idea that a human being was capable of seeing the basic units that the universe is made of, other than through development of technology. And so for centuries, this Tibetan tradition, also known as Vajrayana, it's in a number of places around the world originally, and now it's been spreading globally, believes that this is possible through intensive training. Training of the senses and attention. Those are the key ingredients, and also cognitive abilities. One has to understand what one's doing. So I've been on this path for a long time, and I've been trying to connect Western science with what I consider to be yogic science. So in recent years, the Western science has, one could say, inadvertently discovered that human senses, in fact, do reach down to the level of basic fabric of the universe. And a lot of these discoveries have just occurred in the last few years or in the last year. So they were not, the scientists did not really set out with this idea that they could understand, that they were going to show that humans could perceive on this level. They were almost accidental discoveries in a number of ways. And some of the discoveries came from development of virtual reality and immersive reality technology to see what the human factor was in creating interfaces. So they were almost accidental discoveries in some cases. Anyway, I don't mean to go on too long, but...
Oh, no, that's fine.
That's a kind of I'm not that good at nutshells, but that's good of a nutshell of the landscape that I've been operating in.
No, that's...
And I'll just also, add that Maureen and I have been collaborating for almost 10 years when I first was assisting her on the research for her book, Tasting the Universe. And that's an interesting story on how that connects with what I just said.
I would love to hear that story by whoever will tell that story, because I loved that book.
Would you want to?
No, Bill, go ahead. I think you tell it best, and then I'll chime in with some of the highlights of the sensory potentials we found.
Okay. So, Sonia, what's really remarkable is that now, in the last couple of years, maybe a little bit more, it's not people from the yogic side that are making the advances or that are trying to bridge as much as leading physicists themselves. And this may sound a little contrary to what I just said, but within human vision, okay, in particular, quantum physicists, very high-level ones, including Nobel Prize winner, have suspected since discovery that that humans could actually perceive a single photon of light, that could lead the ability to see single photons of light, which is at the smallest possible level, the photon being the irreducible unit of light, that could open the entire quantum realm, so that people then could potentially perceive quantum entanglement and other aspects of what's called quantum weirdness. And that's what the physicists themselves call it, is quantum weirdness. So I was very excited to find out that leading physicists from leading institutions were actually on the same path that I had been, but from the other side of the Atlantic and of the conceptual divide. So, at the same time, a lot of data was coming in about all the other senses. And so what Maureen and I had discovered 10 years ago, I don't mean to jump around, but you might need to ask me questions to clarify it. 10 years ago, working on her book, we discovered as research partners that the Tibetan meditators, the advanced ones that were studying the universe, were attempting to combine their senses, to integrate them in a synesthesia-like way, also known as multisensory integration or cross-modal process. And what this means is that each sense has potential to enhance the other senses when they're used in combination. So this multimodal, multisensory approach that the yogis developed can enhance the accuracy and precision of any given sensory modality, is what they claim. And so this is, it seems to me, starting to be borne out by Western scientists that have been studying all of the senses and finding in their own, discovering these multimodal properties. So what that means is that all of the senses, like we talk about the ability to feel a molecule that human beings have, or the ability to hear wavelengths, amplitudes that have the scale of the diameter of an atom. These are discoveries made by leading, rigorous scientists. So they all may blend together to open a complete sensory experience of the quantum level. And this is something that Maureen and I discovered on a descriptive level with the production of her first book, which I still consider a great book, that she wrote, and I wrote the foreword to it. But now these ideas that she wrote about then are receiving scientific support on the most profound level.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, Sonia, Bill highlighted some of the really exciting recent discoveries about human sensory potentials. So feeling a molecule with your fingertips was tested out at University of California at San Diego in Dr. Ramachandran's lab, and they applied a layer, one molecule thick, onto a silica surface, and human beings of normal or expected sensory potentials, not super tactile people, were able to discern the difference in one molecule thickness. We can hear sounds with amplitudes smaller than an atom, and we can also distinguish sounds that are only 10 millionths of a second apart. In the case of vision, seeing light at the level of a single photon, as Dr. Bushell pointed out, means not only could we possibly confirm some long-held theories, albeit high-placed ones, in physics, some normal everyday people might actually refute them if they see quantum entanglement or not, if they see things at the quantum level behaving in ways we have not theorized. We used to believe humans could smell only 10,000 distinct odors, and the latest research proves that we can smell more than 1 trillion scents, and it may operate on a quantum and vibrational level. Now, as you know, taste is intrinsically linked to smell, so taste research is burgeoning as a result. But, you know, they used to think we just perceived 5 major taste groups at a molecular level, and scientists in Israel recently discovered a set of taste buds for discerning fresh water. So we are living in very exciting sensory times, and it's just astonishing to see all of it beginning to come out. And Dr. Bushell could speak to this better, but he spent a lot of time in the scientific literature, and there really was not one person aggregating and calling attention to this until he noticed it. And so I've been very fortunate to be writing a series about what is really a sensory renaissance with him for the past several months at Psychology Today.
Yes, all fascinating information, because it really points to where we're going. And and also, just to have a discussion like this will allow others to really begin to be open to some things that they're probably already experiencing that they've just probably either been ignoring or just sort of pushed to the side, don't talk about it. And so I think that this kind of information is very significant to just opening people's minds.
I agree with you very much so. I think this is a story of human potential, and while we are on the brink of robocalypse, I am not anti-technology, but I do believe in the primacy of human beings. It's really encouraging to learn that we are much more powerful than
we have been taught. And one of the other things that I love, I mean, when I was reading the article, I like where you said, just this little line, it says, that's right, human direct sensory perception, not machine. And I think that Those two little words, not machine, and I'm not opposed to technology either. I love technology. I think technology really can give us an opportunity to see ourselves, to see some similarities, to see the technology of a human being, of this body, which is really what we're talking about. But for people to really begin to recognize that, you know, there's so much that we can do, and it doesn't have to necessarily be based on the interface with a machine. The other thing, too, that came to mind when Dr. Bashal was talking was Vipassana meditation, because, you know, I had the opportunity to do that a few times. Are you familiar by any chance?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's key to the research.
Absolutely.
That I use for the model. The models that I've been making. And I just would take this opportunity to quickly say, Sonia, that I really need to applaud what you're doing with your station and in your teachings.
Oh.
Because, you know, reading your description of the expansion zone and about talks and workshops that you give, You are one of the people I don't see that many, actually, who are talking about a profound potential way beyond their imagination. And in these times, I think this is such an important message. You know, Maureen and I talk about this a lot, and we agree, because there's a tendency for the uncovering of these facts about us actually to be a byproduct of, you know, what some would call transhumanist research, or you could say AI, you know, the virtual reality and so forth, which will be revolutionizing things. But if we're not aware of what potentials we have, we're liable to just get caught up, you know, and swept away with this high-tech movement that's going on and that billions of dollars are being poured into. And I feel there's a, you know, I agree also that I'm not a Luddite. I'm not anti-technology, but there's a risk of losing the knowledge which we didn't really have that firmly established in the first place in the West. Of our potential and of cultivating that. So I was extremely gratified and even thrilled when I encountered your show for the first time and your whole vision. I think it's going to prove to be enormously important as the trends continue.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. What an honor, because yes, I am definitely a bit different. I do push the envelope. For some people, it could be a little jarring. But I think that I couldn't do it any other way. I present the show according to my own direction and my own desire to go, deeply. And you're right. We need to understand the amazing ability of this vehicle we are in, and, you know, and beyond that. But I think, were you going to say something, Maureen?
No, I would just like to agree with Bill. I think you're a pioneer, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Wow. Well, maybe we should just do the next half an hour just talking about how amazing my show is.
At least half an hour.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's so much to talk about. I did want to talk a little bit about Vipassana. I'm throwing that in there because I just want people to understand what something that I experience, which of course has to do with the sensory system. So I think we are going to take a quick break right now, and just stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
It's one thing to love public radio, but it's a special thing to support it. Consider this. If you've got a car you don't need anymore, or you've got one that is simply too expensive to repair, arrange to donate it to KPFK. It's easy for you, pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Thanks in advance, and here is how to get started. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That is 1-877-KPFK-AUTO. And learn more.
The radio program Making Contact is now produced by KPFK and Pacifica Radio, and we're looking for volunteers to join our team. The station needs people who want to help book guests, conduct interviews, or script the show, especially bilingual English-Spanish speakers, people who have experience with audio editing, and someone who's skilled at enhancing interviews with archival footage, music, and sound effects. If you'd like to join this exciting transition and be a part of Making Contact's future, please email makingcontact@kpfk.org. That's makingcontact@kpfk.org.
And we are back. Of course, you're listening to The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am, of course, your host, Sonia Barrett, and we are coming to you from KPFK 90.7 FM in Southern California, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course streaming live at kpfk.org. And we have been listening to two amazing guests that I have, Dr. William C. Bushell and Maureen Seberg, and the topic is experiments suggest humans can directly observe the quantum. But of course, there's so much to this one topic, and really pushing the envelope or helping us to stretch our minds and our perception. But before the break, I mentioned Vipassana, and just to give people a bit of an idea, it's an experience. It is a meditation practice. It is 10 days long, 10 days of silence, basically. But the opportunity to experience the sensations that are occurring in your body all the time that you never noticed, you just had no idea, because, you know, we get real lost and caught up in all of the external, you know, experiences and so on. But to me, it was absolutely fascinating, because this is you're feeling the subatomic particles of which you're made. And that's what I wanted to throw out there, that there is so much that is occurring that is profound, and what it triggers and stimulates in you. Of course, we can't talk about it now in this show because it's a lot. But anyway, I wanted to just throw that out there about this amazing experiences that we call the human experience, and then beyond that. So anybody wanted to say anything on that? I heard a deep breath because I wasn't sure if that was a comment coming or...
No, that's fine on my part. Maybe Bill?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Maureen?
No, I thought you might want to follow on that, Bill. I'm not as familiar with it, but it does sound like what we're talking about, these hidden potentials that can become apparent in meditative settings.
It takes you, it's a subtle energy, it takes you to the subtlest level of possibility. That's the whole idea. You're constantly going deeper into that sense of
it. Mm-hmm. In terms of the model that I've been developing, for example, Vipassana is key, because it translated into scientific terms, the stillness that one cultivates in the Vipassana practice, along with the concentrative meditation, is all to enhance attention and to get it on, as you said, Sonia, the subtle levels. This is how one actually descends into a state of stillness where these senses, these sensory potentials can emerge, especially in conjunction with well-trained attention, which is key to Vipassana. So, in fact, the scientific research has very strongly supported the claims of the Vipassana research, and it is shown in a body of studies that it enhances sensory abilities. So it's relevant to this understanding of the ability to see single photons and entanglement. And in a scientific framework, one could say that this training increases the signal-to-noise ratio. That's what you were saying, Sonia, and your description. I'm translating it into somewhat of a technical term for whatever scientists might be listening in, because it has a profound effect that way. And it opens up this world of that our senses can actually then connect with. So, like you were saying before also, that people might be experiencing things that the cultural filters don't allow them to really to see them or experience or accept them. But what this kind of a cultural practice that opens up this entire universe of stillness, attentive stillness, is where what Maureen and I are talking about will start to emerge and become prominent in the experience of the meditator, and this has been backed by scientific research.
Yes, and that's the thing. You know, all of life is this amazing science. Of course, science that goes beyond even obviously what has been discovered at this point. But I think it's people just to realize that whether it doesn't matter what you think, there is a process that is occurring, and it's a matter of being able to tap into that, being able to really access that. And it is a very, very profound experience, and it is very life altering. And I wanted to throw this out there as well. I'm kind of throwing things as they kind of pop up, because that's what I do. Sometimes I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. But years back, back in 1992, I went on this quest to just try to understand my life and, you know, some very intense experiences that I had gone through. And I did not know how to meditate. I knew nothing about doing any of that. So I'm making the story really short. The fact is that I decided to try to do this thing. And just out of being persistent and consistent with sitting and not knowing what to do, eventually one day something happened for me that forever changed me, and that allowed me something obviously must be with my brain, because I was able to then access so much and to understand so much scientifically that I knew nothing about. I knew nothing about quantum physics. I didn't know anything about any of that, not even the word metaphysics. But the whole fact here is that just out of mere desire and persistency, I encountered an experience that I didn't understand. And what that is saying is that there is a natural process here for anybody who really wants to commit to going deeper. That is really the emphasis that I'm making here, to really understanding more. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
And how the brain, maybe I don't know if we want to somehow connect that, because you know, all of this has something to do obviously with the brain and, you know, how things are filtered for us, our reality is filtered for us. So is there either one of you that maybe want to just share some simple insight so people can understand maybe this switch off that happens, or how we get very focused in on one particular version or interpretation of reality, sort of blocking us from all that actually exists and is there?
Well, I think Bill is the expert there. One layperson observation I can make, though, is we are just bombarded with information on a daily basis. And we do not unplug enough. We do not remain still enough or quiet enough to reconnect that way. But Bill is much better versed in the biology of this.
Well, I think that, you know, there are various pathways to the discoveries that can be made. And I think I really like the way you describe yours, Sonia, and I think it's similar to some of the things that I've done more recently myself. And I should say that I was not practicing any spiritual or yogic practice for most of my life. I was studying this scientifically. It was my passion, but I wasn't practicing. That's a whole other story. But to see what one can discover spontaneously, you know, just by deciding to open up that, you know, open up that experience like you describe, this can be very profound. And if there's, you know, a certain openness, willingness, and I think what you described too is courage. Like, I'm gonna look here. I'm gonna take a look. I'm gonna stop the distraction and take a look. And, this is something that I've gotten benefits from as well. And then there are those pathways that have been, charted by yogic meditational pioneers many, many years ago. And what they were doing was, they're doing research. I mean, some call them psychonauts, like my friend Robert Thurman, who's a friend of the Dalai Lama, similar to astronauts, but going within. And this is what these yoga systems have found. And just to make a quick connection to Maureen's second book, Struck by Genius, this is an interesting thing. You see, Jason Padgett was like a normal person. And he got a head injury, and he suddenly began to see extremely complex microscopic things. What he saw was, has been, as Maureen reports in an extraordinary feat of writing, he sees things on a scientific level, and this has been confirmed by a number of scientists and mathematicians. Now, what happened was, in that injury, the whole idea of acquired savantism, as Maureen describes very thoroughly and cites the experts, is that there are these brain circuits that normally keep us from accessing these details. And you find people like savants, autistic savants and acquired savants, because of brain changes, they suddenly get access to, something, what might be like a quantum level. And so this is what an extraordinary thing this phenomenon is, and it was there are a limited number of these people, but, you know, Maureen writes about one of the more striking cases of Jason, but also gives the background. And I would just say this, that my model, my scientific model, looks at some of these abilities in yogis as actually a kind of savant-like state that they can generate while they're in a profound altered state of consciousness. They get access to this detailed picture of the universe, of the world around them. And there's a neuroscientist in Australia, Alan Snyder, who also showed that by turning off temporarily these brain circuits, he was able to make temporary savants that could then see things on a minuscule level that they normally didn't have access to. And this he did through transcranial magnetic stimulation. So if you look in the realm of the human realm to where this access to detail is found, you find it, like I've said, with the yogis, the advanced adepts, but you also find it with savants. So there may be a very profound connection there, as you were suggesting, Sonia, involving the brain.
Yes, that's my feeling. I mean, I could talk about that too for a while too, but yeah, the things that I've seen and come to understand, it's just been really fascinating, because I have no physics background. So something happened with that interface, with that bridge that we call a brain. And we've been talking with my guest, Maureen Seberg, and Dr. William Bushell. And I think we would love to hear a bit from Maureen about her experience.
Oh, thank you. So I am what is called a polysynesthete. That means I have several forms of synesthesia. And the most basic forms are grapheme synesthesias for numbers and letters, where I associate or see colored shapes alongside looking at or hearing a letter or number pronounced. It goes on to motion to hearing synesthesia, where if something moves and there is no sound, I do hear sound. So that's another bonus sensory area. And if I may, I want to make sure we're defining synesthesia properly.
Yes, please.
It's a wasteland out there, present company accepted, in terms of what this really is. You'll see condition, a neurological problem, cross-wiring. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's simply a bonus set of senses. So I perceive everything that is expected or normal, but I get a layer on top of it, as do other synesthetes. For example, looking at the number or the numeral 5 in a newspaper, say page 1 of the New York Times, I will see black ink on a beige background, but I will also get a navy blue aura around the numeral. So I am aware of what it actually looks like, but there's something extra. Another synesthesia I experience, which is gaining a lot of attention in recent years, is called mirror touch synesthesia. And that has nothing at all to do with color. It is rather a preponderance of mirror neurons in my brain. We all have them, but scientists didn't discover them until 2009 when they were observing macaque monkeys. They were scanning the brains of macaque monkeys doing an activity or simply watching other monkeys do the activity, and the same areas of the brain lit up. So this suggests a vast network in which we are truly connected to one another. And the human research is bearing out similar results. In fact, top neuroscientist Dr. Ramachandran, who I mentioned earlier at UC San Diego, likes to call the associated neurons Gandhi neurons, and he says they are the very basis for our civilization. So what happens is, if I see another person and perceive pain, I will feel it in my own body or get some sort of a visceral hit. Same for pleasure, but it seems like the pain threshold is a little bit lower. I'm more aware of that. And I was aware of this my entire life, but I think like a lot of other mirror touch synesthetes, it became more real for me when the research came out and I had something scientific to hang it on. So I notice it a lot more now. And a year ago, I was invited to speak at a high school in New York City, and a bunch of kids spontaneously put me to the test to see if I could tell where their aches and pains were in their bodies. And I got 6 in a row correct. Wow. And they subsequently wrote testimonials. And the teacher who invited me in, an award-winning STEM teacher, was crying by the end of the presentation. It was really a learning experience for me as well.
Yes, and for the students, I'm sure, because here it is. It opened them up to something that they would normally not have learned about in school. There's not a class for it.
So, no, not ordinarily, no. Unless you have a really great teacher like the STEM teacher, Teresa Kutza, who supplements the textbook learning with a lot of research, you know.
Yes, I'm hoping it would be great to see more of this because, again, there's so much that's not understood in the sense of our children and how they function, how they learn. I think it's just a lot of uncharted territory, and so diagnosis and various things are happening really based on a lot of ignorance as well. And if we understood more, maybe it could be different for many people. But I
think you're so right. And I also think, I hope some people in your audience are recognizing things in themselves and feeling vindicated and empowered that they can sense very subtle things. And I think we need to teach children this at the earliest stages so they believe their own sensoria, that they can trust their own body, right?
Right.
I mean, that is part of being a sovereign being, as you would put it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Now, let's be sure to get your the websites or anything that you have coming up, anything that you would like the audience to know to connect with your work further, please be sure to do that. Dr. Bruchel,
sure.
Do you want to start first, and then Maureen, go back to you, and you can provide that information.
Great.
Okay, thank you. The website that I'm co-direct is called ISHAR, which is an acronym for the Integrative Studies Health Archive and Research. It's the largest open access resource for the subjects of consciousness studies and alternative or integrative health and healing presently in existence. It's an initiative of the Chopra Foundation, started by Deepak Chopra, and it's ISHAR, ISHAR, online.org.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you. Maureen?
Yes. And I would urge listeners who might be want more information about this topic to look at the Sensorium column in Psychology Today online, which is just psychologytoday.com. And our series, Dr. Bushell and my series about these quantum sensory potentials, can be found there. Can also be found on the Science and Non-Duality website, the SAND organization, who have been kind enough to also run the information.
Fantastic. All right. So everybody out there, you have that information. Do definitely check it out. And I think one of the things I'd like to throw out there to the audience is that for anybody listening to this and you think, well, I've got so much going on in my life, the truth of it is to take this kind of leap actually can really begin to create simplicity in your life in a way that you just don't realize. You don't know because you haven't gone there. But much of this that we've been talking about can really make such a difference in terms of the freedom that one wants to experience by just tapping in and being in touch with a much deeper, more profound aspect of who you are. So there's definitely a reason to do this, to want to go deeper, to take the time to do it. And I think we have maybe 2 minutes. Almost one minute, probably not much time. Maureen, in a second or so, is there anything else you just want to say, throw out to the audience?
I would, for parents who might be listening who wonder if their young children are experiencing this, I urge you to ask them some questions, because it's not the sort of thing. Inner life is not the sort of thing that people bring up regarding synesthesia or some of these sensory perceptions. So I urge families to sit and talk about it with their young people, and reach out if you have any other questions.
And I have a sense we might not have time for any more dialogue. I don't think so. Maybe a second or so. All right. Okay, William, if you want to just throw something in, you can, but it's going to be really quick.
Looking at Maureen's blog on Psychology Today.
Oh, all right. Great. Well, I thank you so much, both of you. You've been wonderful, and I could talk to you for half a day or more. Thank you. And thanks to the listening audience. Thank you to our engineer, D'Angelo Jones. Please visit theexpansionzone.com for the archive, and also to find out more about me, my work, and a whole lot of that kind of stuff. Go to therealsoniabarrett.com. And of course, as always, I like to remind you to live life to its fullest and question everything. Until next time, see you then.
KPFK 90.7 FM presents an afternoon of community dialogue. On Saturday, August 29th, labor organizer Chris Smalls will be in conversation with journalist Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, discussing the future of the working class and his book, When the Revolution Comes. The event takes place at the First Unitarian Church of Los Angeles. Doors open at 12:30 p.m. and the event begins at 1 p.m. This presentation is a fundraiser for listener-supported KPFK. Ticket and schedule information is available at kpfk.org/smalls.
When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
KPFK is receiving support from a fundraising concert titled Stanley Clark and Friends, celebrating 50 years of School Days, released October of 1976.
The event takes place Wednesday, October 28th at the Alex Theater in Glendale. Scheduled performers include Stanley Clark, who is the music director for the evening, along with John Densmore and Robbie Krieger of The Doors, Danny Carey, drummer for Tool, bassist Rudy Sarzo, vocalist Michelle Coltrane, and additional guests to be announced. Proceeds benefit people-powered KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. Ticket information and details are available online at kpfk.com.